Independent Nation.
What do you got?
I don't know. Nothing.
No. Me neither.
Okay. Well, this should go really well then.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Okay. And in 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to the Brothers in 3Z, the Sports Bar Talk podcast. Sports talk like you and your buddies talk. Eating wings, having beer, and a sports bar. Email the Brothers in 3Z at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Visit their site at brothersin3-z.com. Now put on your iPod, pull up a virtual bar stool, because you're now sitting with Adam, Trent, and Ryan, the Brothers in 3Z.
Welcome once again to an episode of Brothers in 3Z, your sports bar talk podcast.
Hooray!
I am your host, Trent. I'm here with my brother, Adam. Ryan is watching a movie or something like that. He couldn't be wrong. Let's just say he didn't get the email for scheduling. But anyway, doesn't matter. We've got 2 out of 3 here, and that's good enough. That's what I'm talking about. And we're going to sit here
6%.
And talk about 66%. That's right. That's more than half.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to talk some sports here. We're going to start off this evening with a little bit of World Cup talk. When we last had an episode a couple weeks ago, because we went on vacation, you know, we get busy, whatever. We had Adam in his World Cup preview and his breakdown of how the World Cup works and, you know, the groups and then the knockout round and things like that. And, you know, since then, the United States won their group and proceeded to immediately lose in the first round of the knockout round to
Ghana.
Ghana. I wanted to say Ganya, but I knew that wasn't it. But I knew it was close. But and that's the same team apparently that they lost to in the last time in 2006. Correct?
Well, yeah. They keep saying that. That was.
But it was in the
group. They lost to him in the group stage, okay. Which by losing to them, they could not advance. So people said that they knocked them out. Well,
kind of.
It was the last game that they played and they lost.
Yeah. So, since then, the tournament has continued and there's been a few upsets along the way. But I guess we're not really interested in that so much because you know, that's
well,
not...
things will come and go. But, you know, I think from... everybody has talked about the United States and, you know, and every 4 years this discussion comes up is, you know, well, how they played. And are you a soccer fan now or did it transform the way you look at the game or anything like that? And, you know, I am a soccer fan. I follow the United States. I followed them through qualifying. I knew the rosters and blah, 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 blah. So I will obviously continue to be. Now, Trent is a sports fan. Was subjected to soccer. I mean, not like kicking and screaming, but it was on and he watched it, you know.
Sure,
and so
sure.
now do you know how do you come on the other side of this experience? Are you changed in any way? Is it the same as it always was? You watch it, fine, big deal, and it'll go away. You're gonna watch the MLS, you can watch EPL, you know, your understanding of the game in general, on and on and on.
Well, I enjoyed it. I did. It was frustrating at times because, you know, especially with the United States and having goals taken away, and it was like 2, I think, in successive games that hadn't taken away. And then you saw officiating affect other games, and that was a little bit frustrating because it's not like there are a ton of opportunities to make up for such mistakes, or so it would seem. But... you still have to understand that that's part of the game, and you know you ask the Phoenix Suns if officiating had anything to do with them losing against the Spurs a couple years ago, and you know you ask, I don't know, the Orioles whether or not officiating had anything to do with them losing to the Yankees in the '90s with Jeffrey Mayer and things like that. So I mean it's not like it's exclusive to soccer, But I did enjoy the games. I was excited by the wins, or the actually the win, to get into the knockout round, you know. And it was a little bit more than an Olympic feel to me. Now, I'm probably not going to go follow the Premier League. I don't think I'm that enthralled with it, but you know, I would be more inclined to watch some MLS, I think. You know.
Now, do you have a different view on the sport? Do you appreciate it anymore because you understand it more, or did you always get it? Now the picture's just becoming a little bit more in focus, or I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think that I understand a little bit more. I mean, the more I watch it, the more I understand it, and it's similar to hockey in that respect, where it's enjoyable to watch, even if you're a casual fan, even if you don't know all the ins and outs. I mean, it's simple enough that you don't have to, you know, put the ball in the net, and that's what you understand. And, you know, if you're watching it on that level, that's fine. You know, but the more you understand it and the more you appreciate the nuance, I think the more apt you are to consume it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, I appreciate and can see, specifically with this World Cup, more so than in the past, I could see things that were developing on the field, whereas it seemed like before it just looked like people running up and down the field kicking the ball. You know, I could see plays starting to develop. I could see movement dictating, you know, passes and things like that. And just seeing that makes me a little bit more interested in it. You know, I think I always knew that there was some sort of back strategy to it, but I just didn't get it. It didn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it. But now I'm starting to see it a little bit. I feel like a quarterback when the game's slowing down for him.
Well, yeah, you know, and I spent the majority of my life hating soccer. So I think I come to it from a different perspective because I'm not, you know, I'm not a crazed fan or whatever, but hated it. And now I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why people go look at it and go, ah, no, thank you. You get one goal a game, whatever. Blah, I don't want anything to do with it. And that's fine. And I don't want to try to arm wrestle somebody into watching it or liking it or whatever. You don't have to.
Right.
That's what.
Right.
And I don't want to be one of those soccer people that everybody hates. You know,
right?
But and it's not pretentious in this manner. But if you do watch it and you're chatting with somebody that knows and says, "Well, watch this or look at that or why did that happen?" Well, because of this, I think you do get a better sense of that. Not somebody trying to strong arm you and make you understand it in a day or love it and, you know, walk away and say this is the greatest sport ever. But just kind of, you know, it would just be like going to a different country and being with someone that spoke your language and the other language. You know what I mean? Kind of an intermediary, and you're not going to learn the whole thing or understand it or like it or whatever, but you'll get it a little bit better.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. That was what I wrestled with because I don't want to be a pretentious soccer fan.
Well, and that's part of the thing because, you know, if you run into soccer fans and you say that you don't like soccer, number one, you're chastised for not liking it, and then you're, you know, a lot of times just shit on because you're like, you don't understand it. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, maybe I don't. But you know, that's no reason to, like you said, just be condescending. Well,
right, because there's a reason that you didn't want to take the time to watch it, or because you think it's boring, or, you know, it was boring to you when you watched it. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, I think one of the things that I made in my many platforms of multimedia and soccer writing or whatever, as I wrote the other day, is that I think people saw how a 1-0 game could be thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that Landon Donovan, you know, goal against Algeria, you know, because that's always the thing that they bring up. Oh, you know, 1-0 game, really, real exciting, huh? And then you look at that game, you go, well, that was pretty exciting. There were a lot of chances, the drama. You know, you're not going to get that on a normal game and all that other stuff. You know, that you would just turn on and see. You're not going to see the stakes that high, but you understand there that there was. That's how a 1-0 game could be exciting.
Yes. And that game in particular had a very hockey playoff feel to me, if I'm going to compare it to something. Because I knew, and maybe even a little bit more so, because you knew that once the time was up, that was it. I mean, in that knock, in the group, there's no, you know, extra time. There's no penalty kicks. You know, there's nothing. You know,
right.
If you're tied, you're tied. And so there it had a little finite, I don't know, feeling to it, and you knew if they didn't get it done, then it was over. So I think it was a little bit more thrilling. Whereas in hockey, you know, it's just like every time in front of the net, you get that feeling because it could end at any point, but it'll go on for as long as it takes for somebody to win.
Right. If it doesn't go in, you keep playing. You know, it's
right.
It's not waiting for a goal. It's waiting for the time to run out or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I just hate listening to people that just all of a sudden come on and are experts. You know what I mean? That aren't. And I mean, I've read 5 or 6 times about what a great tournament Tim Howard had or whatever at Keeper, and I just think, what were they watching?
Yeah.
I mean, those goals that went in weren't his fault or whatever, but he didn't come up with too many saves that saved him, and some of those, you know, he could have come up with. But you know, at the end of the day, I'd like to point out that my analysis of the U.S. team was right, and that it wasn't going to be, you know, necessarily the goal scoring. It was going to be letting in goals, and that was their downfall. The other thing that drives me nuts is these armchair people talking about how a forward hasn't scored for the United States in whatever World Cups, and that all their scoring is coming from the midfield. Like, that's okay. That's not a big deal. Who's actually putting the ball in the net, whether it's a forward or a midfielder. I mean, I think people thought maybe Josie Altidore could do a little bit more, but it's not a – me, it's not a huge failure that a forward didn't get a goal. It's like saying a center didn't make a shot in the paint or whatever. Or, you know, it's, you know, as long as somebody made it or whatever, it's fine.
Well, yeah, and I think even I could tell that Altidore did have a pretty decent tournament.
Yeah.
You know, even without scoring. I mean, I know that a lot of people are hung up on scoring and who's scoring the goals, but you know, how many goals are you going to have from a forward if you're only scoring, what, 5 in the whole tournament? You know,
scored less than that, I think.
Was it less than that? I mean, so
England was 1-1. Slovenia was 0-0, 1-1. It was 1-1.
Yeah.
No, 2-2, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 2-2. So that's 3, 4, and 5. No, you're right, 5 goals.
So,
sorry.
No, that's okay. But I'm just saying, you know, you can't be so focused on that. I mean, it's like, I don't know, if you're, I'm going to compare it to American football, you know, you can have linemen who make a difference in the outcome of a football game without them actually taking the ball and putting it in the end zone, you know, and it's the same thing, you know. So what if it doesn't come from forward? Somebody's scoring, and regardless of whether it actually came off somebody's foot, the forward's foot, they still probably helped create a goal in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think I'd be more apt to watch. I don't know. Like I said, I probably would not follow Premier League just because I don't – is there time difference? And, you know, it seems like a lot of investment where, you know, it's MLS is on and I could casually consume it and then, you know, maybe kind of get drawn into it that way, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think, you know, Landon Donovan for the time being is playing in the MLS, you know,
right.
And there's some players that will come back to the league that you'll recognize more readily than if you turn on, you know, another game. And I don't think like watching EPL or whatever is required viewing to be a soccer fan.
Yeah. I think I would liken it to like right now, you know, the difference between NBA and college basketball. Yeah, the NBA has the best athletes in the world, and the EPL has the best soccer in the world. But, you know, I'm more familiar with the college basketball game, and I'm probably more familiar with, you know, the players right now, you know, just consuming this World Cup in the MLS than I am with players in the EPL.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that it's not the best product out there. But, you know, it's the closest thing to me.
Yeah.
So in another 4 years, I guess, we'll see what happens. See how it all plays out.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so but it's see, like, it's fun for me because it's not necessarily 4 years because, you know, the qualifying will start here soon and you'll see the roster shape up and all this other stuff, so.
How much change in that roster do you think you'll see between now and?
Well, it's kind of strange in that regard, because the team that qualified for the World Cup was very different than the team that played in the World Cup.
It seemed like there would be, because if it's you know, a few years, even 2 years between the time you qualify to the time that the actual tournament's played, you'd think there'd be a little bit of turnover there.
Well, but you formulate the team on what you think it's going to be like in 4 years, and Bob Bradley did a little, I don't know if it was different, but he brought in a lot of players. Like, a lot of players got their first cap under him. He just brought in a ton of new guys and just had a look at them. You know, before it was a very core group that went through, and Bob Bradley looked at a lot of different people. So, yeah, I think the core is right there, you know. Get Charlie Davies back, who was the guy that was injured, the striker that was injured in the car accident, not available for the World Cup. Oguchi and Yewu is 28 now, I think, could be 32, probably still good enough to be a center back. Tim Howard will still be in goal. Landon Donovan's 27, 28, he'll be fine. Clint Dempsey, 27, he's fine. So you'll see the same core of guys, I think, and that'll benefit, but, you know, 4 years is a long way away, and it's, you never know who could pop up there, because, you know, a guy like Robbie Finley, who ended up starting in the World Cup, basically just burst onto the scene in 2010. He was scoring a lot of goals in MLS, and Edson Buttles the same way, scored a lot of goals in MLS. These guys hadn't had caps in 8 years. A cap is, you know, when you play for the national team. They hadn't had caps for 8 years, and all of a sudden they're off to a hot start, get called to the national team, and they're on their way to the World Cup. They didn't play in qualifying.
At all?
I don't think so. So, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. Moving on.
Moving on. It comes out today, and I don't know how official this is. $750 million settlement for Elin Woods to keep her fat trap shut.
So that does include the confidentiality agreement?
I think that it does. From what I have heard reports, my sources indicate that the $750 million is contingent upon her agreeing to not discuss publicly the whole situation.
That's a shame, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you'd think that that'd be pretty interesting. But if I have $750 million looking at me, I'll keep my mouth shut, too.
There has to – well, I'm not sure what was that necessarily in the prenuptial agreement, but let's think about this first of all. He's willingly giving up $750 million, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much is he truly worth then? Because if – let's just say he's worth $1 billion, and it's got to be more than that. But, like, that's the report. He's worth $1 billion.
Right.
He's giving three-fourths, so then – that can't be true. So what is he worth? $2 billion? It's unfathomable to me.
Yeah, well, I think that the estimates would have to be at least $1.5 billion, because if you're going to say 50%, you know, that would be $1.5 billion. So it has to be at least $1.5 billion, maybe a little bit further upwards of that in terms of what he's worth, in order for her to negotiate that $750 million settlement. You know, she gets to keep the kids, and he has, joint custody, I can't remember how it was put, but she gets physical. Yeah, she gets physical custody, and he has, you know, legal visitation, you know. If she's going to be living in Sweden or wherever, I don't know how often he'll be able to just hop over and get to see the kids, but he certainly has that right. It seems the numbers thrown around for her is just amazing. And the situation is just so odd, because at some point, and I don't know when this was, you know, she had considered staying with him, right? Or no? Or would you, you know, I don't understand where the tipping point was for her.
But I don't know. I don't think, well, you think she was in Florida for a while, like taking their kids to school and stuff like that. She never went by his side. She basically bolted for the longest time to Sweden you know, after the school was out or whatever. So I don't know that she ever had any intention of staying there. I mean, I'm sure he had to come clean with her and all that stuff, but she might have been living around there and whatever, but it was probably just until she left.
Yeah.
It seems to me that just even though she was around and hadn't, like, left the estate or whatever, that it's not necessarily because they were considering. Now, he might have hoped that and hoped we can work things out and all this other stuff, but I don't know.
You don't think that she could get, like, more than the $750 million for, like, a book deal or anything? I mean, that seems like...
No. No way.
This seems like the best deal she could get.
Yeah, but you know what... maybe, maybe not, because I don't know what you, like, splitting hairs here with, but, like, let's say she, this had to be, like, an arranged deal, like, some kind of, that's what, some kind of thing, because of the confidentiality agreement. So she, they had to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So she got more money, I think, it seems like, in return for her silence.
Right, yes, that's
okay.
True. I think that she
was... But what if she sticks with the prenup agreement or whatever and she gets half? And let's just say he's worth $1.2 billion just because she's done the confidentiality. She gets more than half because she did the confidentiality. Okay?
Right.
Well, what? Let's just say she settles for half of $1.2
billion. Right.
That's probably enough.
Probably.
But then to try and stick it to him in the tabloids or whatever and all this... She could do that if she wanted to, seems to me.
Right. Here's the thing, though. She doesn't really seem like she wants to.
No, she wants to be – it seems like she wants to be done and out of this and just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like she's said word one since this has happened. I mean, I haven't even heard her speak at all. I mean, not even to say no comment. I mean, you see pictures of her, but that's about it. Nobody's able to get – an interview with her, or, you know, even the hordes of people standing outside her house or outside her car or anything. She doesn't really say anything. So, I mean, it seems like she wasn't going to say much anyway. So she's probably more than fine with this.
Yeah. And she's a better person than me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's a better person than me, too. I mean, not just to say that I agree that she's better than you. But, yeah, I mean, I would want to stick it to him and, you know, let all the dirty laundry out and make him look as bad as possible. And, you know, I guess to that end, though, I'm really kind of hurting myself if I'm her, because if I hurt his income.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then, of course, it all comes back to will it affect his play? And I think we've shown that he can play through anything.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's not played tremendously well.
He's got two top fives in majors, basically just, like, getting out of the car.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. He did play okay in the Open.
Yeah, nobody played great. He did have nine great – I think I probably told this to you. You know, when Phil doesn't have it, he just doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just – didn't have it there on that Sunday. You could just see it. But it seems like whenever you watch Tiger, in an instant, he can have it. He can go 10 holes and look terrible, and all of a sudden, you know, you look up, he's only one over for his round or whatever. All of a sudden, boom, 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 he can go off at any moment. He can figure it out. He can get it. You know, it's not this – it's not an 18 holes malaise if it's, you know.
Yeah.
It could be 10 holes, and then boom, he's off to the runs. It could be 14 holes, and then he gets it. You know, it's just – with him, it's like you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is, you know, kind of amazing and exciting, but certainly not disappointed that he didn't.
Yeah, he always seems like he's close. And if he happens to get locked in and catches, then you're right, he can go on a run.
Did you see the story? This is breaking news.
Ooh.
That Hank Haney did an interview with Golf Digest regarding Tiger?
No.
He just said that their relationship was dysfunctional and that, you know, they... He didn't take any of the suggestions at the Masters, or he didn't ask for any suggestions or anything like that. And so Hank Haney wasn't sure what was going on, but Tiger's publicly telling everybody that he's his coach and they talk every day and all this other stuff. So it's a good read. I think it's in Golf Day, just coming out in August, but there were excerpts on ESPN.com. So check it out.
I have to take a look at that. What do you think like Ryder Cup wise? Is he playing? Who's captain? Corey Pavin?
Corey Pavin.
You take
well,
him?
Not unless he qualifies.
Okay. See, I think
I don't know. That's tough. If he's like, say he's not qualified on points or whatever, you're not going to use the best player in the world.
It seems to me, I don't know. I mean, it's a hard call because you're right. He's the best player in the world, but the last time the U.S. won a Ryder Cup, he wasn't playing.
Right, and I don't know. I think there's, I don't know that that's necessarily a cause and effect.
No.
But
it just shows that you can do it without him.
Well, sure. Yeah, you're right.
If you don't want the distraction around.
If I were Corey, well, look, two things. Tiger Woods hates the Ryder Cup.
Right.
And
right.
U.S. doesn't want him on it. So the best thing he should do is just get that neck injury again. And I mean, seriously, be like, oh, you know, I'm really recovering from this neck injury. And I'd love to play and represent my country. It'd be great, but I just can't do it.
Yeah.
And Corey would say, oh, it's really sad that we can't have Tiger. But we'll go. We'll move on.
Right. I don't understand why he hates it so much. Because I thought that he liked match play so much.
Well,
and I know that there's
likes,
team aspect.
Match, yeah, I think that's the problem.
It just seems like such a small thing to cause so much hate.
Well, I think we've seen Tiger's, not his true colors, but, you know, that he can't suck it up and deal with some things like you would think somebody should or could.
Yeah, it's true.
He's just not a good person.
Yeah, he's a big baby.
He's a big baby. He blames his caddy after the U.S. Open, and he doesn't talk to his coach, and he's still short in the interview room, he's just that's who he is. He's not a good person. That's fine. That's what it is.
Yeah. Speaking of not good people.
Oh. Yeah.
Mike Vick, he decided to celebrate his own birthday by throwing a party, which is fine. People do that. He's also decided to charge people, I think, for his birthday party. $30 or something like that to get in. His brother was also part of this, Marcus, the incomparable Marcus Vick, I think. And then there's a shooting, and that was afterwards. And, you know, it seems... I know that Vic is a person of interest, and this sounds a little Ray Lewis for me. You know, it sounds similar to that situation. But, you know, is this something that he just shouldn't have done? Is this something that he just, you know, hey, I have 1 year back in the NFL under my belt. I don't know. Does it something like that should run through your mind if you're him, or is he just like, hey, I just want to throw a birthday party?
Well, I don't know. Did he throw it himself?
Yeah. Him and Marcus.
Okay,
happy
yeah,
birthday
no, he shouldn't
to me.
Have done that. He shouldn't have done that.
Okay.
I mean, it's just stupid. You're trying to keep a low profile, and I think he did for the most part. He kind of went about his business, but he blew it. I mean, really, just don't do it. Why go into the clubs and all this other stuff? Was it back in near their hometown or whatever?
I don't know that much.
It wasn't in Philadelphia, I don't think.
No, I don't think it was in Philadelphia.
Okay, well.
But I don't know if it was in Atlanta or in.
No, I mean, I don't think, it doesn't appear that he shot anybody or was brandishing guns, but it appears as if he was back with his homies, doing, you know, not necessarily getting into trouble, but he was back with them hanging out, and that's one of the things he's got to get away from.
It seems, yeah, I mean, it seems kind of like Michael Phelps, almost, even though Michael Phelps, you know, he smoked the weed, but you have to be aware of who's around you, you know, and if you're throwing a birthday party for one, that's whatever, but invite people so you can control who's there. If you start charging people at the door, and that's the only requirement is that they have $30 or $50 or however much it is you're charging, then
you lose control.
You no longer have control about who's there, but you're responsible for their actions. to some degree. Right. You know, whatever they do is going to reflect on you regardless of even if you know these people or not. You know, so I see, I think that that's where maybe he lost, I don't know, where it crossed the line or where he let it get out of control is, you know, just, and I don't know how exclusive it was. Maybe he had to have a special golden ticket or something to get in and pay $50. But that would be where I think that he messed up.
Yeah.
And
I don't, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if what Goodell's going to do about this or if he's going to do anything. I don't know what's warranted.
I don't either. Because, I mean, the league doesn't need him.
No.
I think they've given the opportunity. And, you know, it might be the, something where the Philadelphia Eagles say, yeah, this is enough. We don't want this out of our third string quarterback. We don't need to be in the Mike Vick business anymore. And you let it take its own course.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope he gets kicked out. Oh, I mean, I never really liked him.
What's Marcus doing these days other than party planning?
I don't know. I can only imagine he's just living off of his brother.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing to you, so.
Oh. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
God. Anything else?
That's it.
That's it. All right. We'll go ahead and wrap this up. This is episode 204. We're going to go ahead and put that one in the books.
You want to ask me?
I can't throw it to you.
Nope. I got no idea.
Okay.
Twitter.com/brothersin3z.
Uh-huh.
Find us on Facebook at brothersin3-z.
I think it's facebook.com/brothersin3z. I don't think there's a dash.
Where is there a dash?
At brothersin3-z.com. I think that's the only dash that you will find.
Okay, so Twitter and Facebook, brothers. Dash Z.
Yes. And email us at brothersin3z@yahoo.com.
Done.
And call us on our cell phone at 304. Just kidding.
Oh, okay.
All right, so for Adam and an absent Ryan, this is Trent saying, remember the next one is on us. Hey, did you know that in the real world, New Orleans?
Mm-hmm. I was just watching it before we talked.
Eric?
Went to West Virginia?
He was a West Virginia grad.
In his tape, I saw a West Virginia hat on his couch.
Oh, yeah?
You know him?
I don't know him.
Do you know people that know him?
No, not really, no.
And scene.